Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 25, 26, and 27. I'll read verse 25, and you read verse 26 with me. And Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Let's pray. Father, you've given us rules to live by. Lord, your commandments and promises. Lord, what a book. Please help us tonight. Open our hearts and strengthen us, please, so that we can be more usable by you in the lives of others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. And look at the verses that we just read. It says, Gentiles, that's us, thrive on control. We measure strength by how many people we can dominate. Jews don't think that way, but he said we're all Gentiles, and he said that's one way we have to be careful. We don't measure spiritual strength by your control of other people. He said they seek domination. He said when we're in church, the way we measure spiritual strength is how many people can you serve. He that is great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And then he rephrases it, and he that would be chief among you, let him be your servant. So the highest thing you can do in the Christian life is serve other people. You've heard me do it before, but you start out a fish, right? Then you get saved and you become a sheep. It's quite a metamorphosis, right? Then you become a student and you start learning the Bible. And then you become a soldier. And what's the highest step that we just said? A servant is the highest place that you can reach in the Christian life. I want to serve. I want to be used. I'm going to give you another topic tonight that is basic Christianity. And if you say, I've heard this before, I'm going to approach it the same way we did last time. Who could you teach it to? You ready? Here's the topic that we're looking at tonight. If you had to show somebody that God gave you to win to the Lord, and it was time to show them about church, what verses would you use? Where would you take them in the Bible to show them that going to church is important? Because there's a lot in the Bible, we're not going to cover it all. But I'm doing this to help you be a help to others. Amen? I shouldn't be the only one in the church that has, you know, showing people why we do what we do. I believe a strong church is where all the church members know. This is why we do what we do. This is what it says in the Bible. So, I don't know that you can take notes on the first part, but if you had to define the word church, it's amazing how many people define. If you can just get the definition of a church right, you'll know much more than the average person in America. The word church means a called out assembly. That means you were called out of the world to assemble in one place. The word church means a called out assembly. That means if you stay home and have a Bible study, you didn't go to church. You had a Bible study. I've heard of Roadside Baptist Church. You know, that's where you pull the car over and you play a CD or you listen to a sermon. If all church was listening to a sermon, then pretty much we wouldn't need to come to church anymore because you could listen to those on the internet, right? I mean, there's videos and audio. Church is more than, it involves the preaching, but that's not all church is. It's us being together as God's people. So a called out assembly, what's another definition? I love this definition of a church. A group of disciples. Because you can, a disciple is a disciplined learner and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that would include your Bible, getting people saved, doing things God's way, a group of disciples. I like that. That's an old-time definition. Another definition of a church would be, here we go. We're not going to get into all of this tonight. I just want to give you some verses, but just let me just read to you the definition of a church. A particular called out assembly of baptized believers who are organized to preach the gospel to the lost and teach the word of God to the saved. It has officers and elders described in Ephesians and Timothy. It's led by a bishop or a pastor, 1 Timothy 3, and the Lord's Supper and baptism are the two ordinances of that church. That's why if you don't have a baptistry, you don't have a church. If you don't have a missions program where you're supporting missionaries, you don't have a church. If you don't have a pastor in the presence, you don't have a church. You have a Bible study, but you do not have a scriptural church. Let me give you one more definition, and then we'll turn to some places together. A more specific definition of a church could be a visible assembly of baptized believers covenanted together under New Testament law for the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission, with an unbroken history from the personal ministry of Jesus on the earth to this present day. This church is a self-governed, independent body, having Christ as the head, the Holy Spirit as its guide, and the Bible as the only rule of faith and practice. The only scriptural offices of the New Testament church are the bishop or pastor and deacons. The two ordinances of the local church are baptism and the Lord's Supper, and on all matters of membership, policy, of government, of discipline, of benevolence, the will of the local church is final. Then it gives some verses there. Lengthy definitions. If you were in my Baptist history class, I would have you write each one of those out. Aren't you glad we're not in pastor's Baptist history class? All right. So let's go to the thought here. Why is church important? We've defined it. Now go to Matthew chapter 10. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. You know, you think everybody's like you, and then everybody praises the Lord. They don't have to be like you, you know. But when I got saved and I started learning, wow, there's reasons in the Bible we do everything. I started making little squares in the back of my Bible. Eternal security. Church. Baptism, after you get saved. And I started making all types of little references, and I would have a square in the back of my Bible named Church is Important, and then I would have some of these, more of these, but some of these verses we'll cover tonight in the back. And so, Matthew chapter 10, and look at verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease, in all manner of disease. And then he names the 12 apostles. Right there in the start of verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. When did Jesus start the church in the Bible? When he called the disciples to himself. They were in the world, fishermen, tax collectors, businessmen, tradesmen, and he called them out. Because what's the definition of a church? A called out assembly. Many people think the church was started in Acts chapter 2. It was empowered in Acts chapter 2. But in Matthew 18, Jesus said the church already existed. He spoke of the church presently. We won't go into that tonight, but in Jesus' earthly ministry, the church was here. It got empowered in Acts. No, when did the church start? Matthew chapter 10, when the disciples were called to Jesus. A church is a called out assembly. That's important for you to know. Next. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20. Our job is to make disciples. All of us are supposed to be focused on leading people to Christ and helping others somehow, some way. Praying for people to get saved. Helping people get saved. But could you take the Bible and show somebody, now that you're saved, you need to come to church? It's important that you don't stay home and watch TV. It's important that you choose to assemble or church with God's people, because watching a TV program or the internet is not church. assembling with God's people is church. Look at Acts chapter 20 and look at verse 28. Ready? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. I can pull two truths about church out of there. Number one, church is where we get fed spiritually from the Bible. Pastor says, turn here, turn here. Let's see this. We do Sunday school. We are fed with the Word of God, and that is what gives us spiritual nutrients to grow spiritually. Doesn't it say to feed the church of God? Next, what's the last phrase? It says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You say, Pastor, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for my sins. There's so much that took place on the cross. I know he died for our sins. He made salvation possible for the whole world. But there's something that Jesus purchased for a church to gather together and be fed spiritually. I don't think going to church makes you saved. I don't think going to church upgrades yourself. Nothing like that. But Jesus purchased what we're doing right now on the cross. That tells me it's important. I take it literally. I'm reading it. But the privilege of meeting as a believer with other believers was bought on the cross. For me to minimize church and say church is not important, or here we go, if I was talking to a convert, I would say this, or somebody I'm trying to help. Don't minimize something Jesus shed his blood for. Church attendance is declining in America. People got better things to do. That's because the next generation's not being taught. Well, that's for old people. It's not for old people. It's for saved children of God. So be careful that your attitude towards church, the local New Testament church, there's something about it for Jesus to have shed his blood for it. That's why there is no substitute for it. I'm all for, you know, look, when people are sick, if they got to stay home and watch, you know, TV, I'm glad they can. But it's not church. You realize how sprinkling babies started? It was convenient, and they did it to a sick boy. And they said, well, that sure is convenient. We don't have to get the whole tank ready. Yeah, then they started pouring water, you know. Well, that's convenient. And they changed baptism from immersion to sprinkling because it was convenient. You know what I'm watching happen? COVID-19 is going to change going to church because it's convenient to stay at home. I don't think it should change. Nothing in the Christian life should change because it's convenient. Where does the word sacrifice come into play? You know, people don't like sacrificing. But if Jesus gave all for us, what would we give for him? You understand? So the church, Jesus shed his blood for the church. I think that is a very important verse when it comes to the local church. After Acts 20:28, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go over two books. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think when you're understanding the church, if you were teaching someone about the church, they need to understand, you need to understand, there's a church in heaven and there's a church on earth, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. When you got saved, you were baptized or immersed in Christ, and you were made a part of his body in heaven. And whether you ever go to church or not, you're saved now. You're a part of the Lord. He lives inside of you, and you're placed inside of him. Isn't that what it says? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. So there's a body in heaven, and go to Ephesians chapter 1. That's over just a couple of books. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So when you got saved, God gave you things that you don't even know about yet. But you were baptized or placed in Christ, and you were given all spiritual blessings in heaven. But practically, on this earth, until you get there, we're supposed to go to church. Your position is in heaven, in Christ, in the one body. Practically, you're supposed to get your kachuski up, get dressed, and sacrifice the time and come to church and assemble and go back home, unassemble, assemble, unassemble. And you're supposed to do that until one day we're called to the position where we're at in the Lord. That's verse 3. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 20. Ready? Look at verse 20. It says here, which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion over and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I think people use these verses to say, see, assembling isn't important. When you are saved, you're made a part of the body of Christ, and the whole world is the church. I think you're taking things out of context. No, you need to assemble. You've been made a part of the Lord in the heavenlies. But you need to assemble as a believer down here on the earth to be able to show someone that. I realize I could be explaining this to you, but I'm hoping this helps you pass it on. That's Ephesians chapter 1, 3 and 20. Now go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and let's look at this body on the earth. Romans chapter 12. Acts, Romans. Chapter 12. We covered it a couple of weeks ago, but look at verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now that would be talking about down here on the earth. That's not talking about up in heaven. Watch. Verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ. It's talking about the local church. Here we go. Let me emphasize that for you. We are one body in Christ at Gospel Light Baptist Church. Christ is our head. Patuxent Baptist is another body of believers. Pastor Connor is the under shepherd. Christ is the head. We could go to each church, but it's not us plus them plus them. Each church is its own body with Christ as the head. All right, that's where the pastor comes in. He's not the shepherd. He's the under-shepherd that answers to Jesus, our shepherd, right? That is, now look at the last part of verse 5. And every one members one of another. That's that spiritual part that Jesus shed his blood for. That's why going to church is so important. Since we're members one of another as we serve, that means when you don't come to church, you hurt other Christians that need your help. You say, well, they need the Lord. They need the Bible. I know, but I told you before, if preaching was all that was needed, then we'd just tune into the internet. No, I'm telling you, God made us members one of another, and we pull from and encourage one another. That's why if I was teaching a young convert, I would say, you'll understand more as you live the Christian life. But it's very important that you make church a faithful part of your life, not just for the Lord, but for the people. You know, we had about 4 years ago, somebody came to our church and they wanted to join real quick. I have no problem with that. My fear is this. I like when somebody comes to a church and observes it, prays about it, not the first time they come in, and they're welcome to join. You know what I mean? As long as they talk to the pastor, that's fine. But I get concerned about, you know, easy come, easy go. I'd like them praying about it. And do you understand what we are? We're not like all the other churches. No, all churches are not the same. Do you know what we stand for? And because if somebody joins the church, we as a family, like we should, give ourselves to them, and we should Amen. But then if on a whim they leave, it hurts everybody. Because everybody's asking the question, where's so-and-so? You can't have the attitude, well, it's none of their business where I am. We're members one of another. It says that in Romans 12. And when we watch somebody quit, it discourages everybody. Because we're all trying to keep going for the Lord, right? All of us are tempted to quit. So when we gather as a church and we sing, sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh. Boy, we sing the songs and boy, let's keep living for Jesus and the Word of God is true. And we know that. But when somebody quits, it hurts. And you can't ignore that. And so I get concerned sometimes when people want to join and they do it real quick and I hope you don't leave as quick as you came. Amen. I hope that the spiritual part of it, because you're important. Okay, let me say it this way. Based on Romans 12:5, we're important to each other. It's important how we treat each other till we get to heaven where God placed us when he saved us. So, Romans chapter 12 is very important. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to stay on the topic, why is church important? Why is the local New Testament church important? Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. The lady that taught me soul winning, and I had Mom and Pop Woolston, and I had Gene and Burma Johnson, and I had Jim and Holly Hart. I had people invest in me, teaching me to lead people to Christ. Every one of them used this verse when it came time to show how important church was. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Watch this. And he came to Nazareth, the Lord Jesus, where he had been brought up. Watch. You ought to have underlined in your Bible and underline the words, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. If Jesus had the character and custom and habit of going to church, how can you be a Christian, one who's like Christ, and not go to church? There is no such thing as a happy Christian that's out of church. Praise God, you can be saved by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus and on your way to heaven by trusting Christ, but you cannot be a happy Christian and be out of church. You will exist, but Jesus' custom, his habit, his character, growing up as a child, he said he just did what he had been, what his daddy and mom taught him to do. I know it was his stepdad, but hang with me there, okay? So, as his custom was, if it was Jesus' custom to go to church, then Christian, it should be yours. If you're going to follow Christ, he'll always lead you to church when the doors are open. The Lord would never lead you to miss church. You like that? If I'm taking my Bible and I'm showing somebody, I'm talking to you like I'm talking to them, maybe a little more volume. But for you to grow in the Lord, you can't miss church. Church is important. Luke 4:16 has always been a wonderful, helpful verse. How about this? Go to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Now, this probably drives it home a little bit, but Acts chapter 11, and look at verse 26. Okay, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What is a Christian? If you want it used three times in your Bible, word Christian means one who is, in the reference of your Bible, it's they were always suffering and being persecuted. But the word Christian means Christ-like. You can be saved and not be a Christian. You're not a Christian because you're saved. You have the potential of being like Jesus if you'll submit to him. But you being saved means you're a born-again child of God on your way to heaven, but you're only a Christian to the degree you follow the Lord. And once again, Luke 4:16 tells us our Savior went to church and he would die for it. So why would you not? Nothing is more important than assembling as a believer. Now, go to Matthew 16:18. Three more verses to go. Three more verses to go. Matthew 16 and verse 18. In a Catholic area, I think it would help if you could understand this verse, and you should be able to explain this verse. This is the verse the Catholic Church uses to show why there's a pope, or their explanation of a pope. But you as a Bible-believing Christian should know how to explain this. Look at Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, which means little pebble, and upon this rock or foundation stone I will build my church. Jesus is the cornerstone. He was saying, you, Peter, are a little pebble. Thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is not saying on Peter he would build his church. That's the justification that the Catholic Church uses for Pope. All right? No. Jesus said, I will build my church on myself. Because what did Peter just confess? Thou art the Christ. Right? A couple of verses ahead of that. If you could understand the last part of the verse, I know I'm talking fast, but I've explained this to Christian after Christian after Christian. It was taught to me. It changed my life. And look at the last part of the verse. Ready? It says here, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the church. First of all, what are gates? Until somebody explained this to me, you've heard me say, I pictured, big opening iron gates kind of marching towards somebody. The word gates in your Bible was always a picture. A city had four walls. It had one entrance. And in that gate, the authorities of the city sat so they could monitor the commerce that was going in and out of the city. The mayor sat there. Anybody dealing with finances. The authorities of that city sat in the gate. Boaz sat in the gate. Lot sat in the gate. And Jesus said, the gates, the authorities of hell shall not prevail against the local New Testament church. That tells me this. If you understand the word gates right, that tells me when you make church a part of your life, there is a protection that you gain in your life that when church is casual, if I ain't got anything to do, I'll go, or there's no commitment, but church is a nice place, but I got a life to live. You're losing the protection you could have if you made church a part of your life and regular. That's why to raise our kids, we don't miss church. There's nothing worth missing church over. Okay, let's read the verse again. Ready? I'm going to start up at the top. Watch this, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the Lord Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if church is not a commitment part of your life, then Satan has access to you. It doesn't say you're going to lose your salvation and go to hell. It says your life can be a living hell till you get to heaven. And I've watched as a pastor, I've in the ministry 37 years, I've watched people play with church. I don't know. You going to be there? I don't know. What's on Sunday nights? I don't know. It's been a long time since I've watched TV on a Sunday night. Amen? I don't care what's on. I need God's protection. I don't want the authorities of hell to prevail or gain ground in my life because, watch, church is one of God's protections for you. God intends for every Christian to be in church. I think to miss it is hurtful. Who missed church in the New Testament? John chapter 20. Remember, who do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Because the first Sunday night in night church, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. So it says 8 days later. Guess who was in the assembly? Thomas. Guess what Thomas said? Except I see the nail prints in his hand and the spear in his side, I won't believe. So Jesus, for Thomas's sake, they're real. Can you see picture holes going all the way through his hands? Can you picture him? Okay, I know they were just a group of men, but Jesus unrobed his top. and showed him his torso and said, right there, do you believe now? Yea, Lord, I believe. He said, blessed are those who will believe but won't see. Do you know what happens when you don't assemble as a believer? Doubting Thomas taught us, when you miss church, it gives Satan access to you, and guess what? You doubt. Your faith is not as strong as it could have been. You inflict, I think, you become, like it says in Jeremiah, a terror to yourself. And it's because the lack of commitment in church. Church is very important. And we need to be teaching everybody that we can. When I go out soul winning, we're going to meet saved people or lost people, right? And if I meet a saved person, well, where do you go to church at? Well, I haven't gone to church. And Brother Butler's been with me. Several of you men have been with me. I always say the same thing. Well, I'm glad you can be saved without church, but you can't be happy without church. And if you think you're happy now, if you'll start faithfully attending church, you'll really get happy. You're not as happy as you could be. No, you need the local New Testament church. Jesus shed his blood for it. It was his custom. It is the protection he's given us from satanic influence that you don't want to lose. You don't want to give the devil access. Commitment to church is important. Let's look at one more. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter... Oh, and I'm sorry. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I told you three more verses. I wasn't lying. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll never forget teaching this verse in a new converts class. I won't tell you where, but it wasn't here. And we hit Hebrews chapter 10. And I remember watching about three jaws drop. And they were shocked. So I take Hebrews 10:25 for granted, but everybody ought to know Hebrews 10:25. Ready? Watch this. Well, let's look at verse 24. Verse 25 is what I'll emphasize to you. Look at verse 24. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Remember that part about being members one of another? Pulling an influence from each other? We're supposed to provoke each other. That's part of the purpose of the preaching. That's not all of it. Comfort comes there. Exhortation comes from it. But provoking? If I preach a message on soul winning, if I preach on something that we all need to be doing, it pushes us in a good way for that. When we come to church, we're supposed to provoke one another to good works. Something like this. Don't nag, but if you did this, wow, what'd you get out of your Bible this week? Did you have any prayers answered this week? What's the Lord done for you this week? And you encourage each other. That's exhorting and encouraging one another. That's provoking one another. Boy, the Lord's been good this week. Wow. Boy, the Lord gave me victory at my job this week. And boy, the Lord really helped me. We're supposed to love and provoke one another to love and good works. Faithfulness. Okay, if I testify to you, the Lord's been good to my wife and I and has given us three vehicles since I've been saved. That's me provoking you, saying God won't fail you. Amen? That's me trying to, I'm not bragging, I'm encouraging you. I'm saying, hey, if God could do it for me, God could do it for you. Provoking one another. Now the next verse comes into play. Verse 25, it ought to be marked in your Bible. Not forsaking or avoiding the assembling or churching of ourselves together. It's the same word. Assembling and churching is the same word. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Isn't it sad? Brother Dave Butler III will tell you. Him and Dave Butler Sr., they came to our church. Remember for the reason? They had went to how many churches that night? Like five in the area, and we were the only one that was open. See, the manner of some is to cancel church. That's the manner of some. Don't do that. Keep the church doors open. Keep the assembly open. It's important, as the manner of some is. No, church is important. We're watching churches, they're closing their doors. Oh, we'll just be open Sunday. And well, since people aren't coming, well, if people aren't coming, man, no wonder our country's in the state that it's in. No wonder we're watching what happening, what we're watching happen. No, Hebrews 10:25 says, don't avoid the assembling of ourselves together. And then watch this. It says at the end of it, but exhorting one another, building each other up, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. As we get closer to Jesus coming, we're supposed to be meeting more, not less. Somebody made this statement to me. Well, I'm not going to Sunday school because Sunday school isn't mentioned in the Bible. Okay, you want the history on it? Sunday school started in the late 1700s over in Great Britain. It moved over here to America in the 1760s, and we've been having Sunday school and teaching the Bible before the preaching service since the 1800s. We're meeting more and more as we get closer to Jesus coming. You're right. Sunday school is not in the Bible. But our attendance is supposed to be growing as we get closer to Jesus coming, not getting less. That's how come my pastor could stand and preach. When those church doors are open, it's God's will in your life that you be here. And if you have a job that always takes you out of church, you need to be praying for a different job. All of us understand when I was in Bible college, I couldn't go to church on Wednesday nights. But my pastor had a point. When those church doors are open, you're supposed to be here. That's God's will. That's not my will. Careful, because in modern day, they say, you're just trying to build the church attendance. No, I'll be fine. I've been fine. The Lord's taken care of me since I've been saved. I'm saying this for your sake, for your spiritual protection, for your family, so you can be used of God to help other people. Let's look at the last verse tonight. Well, here we go. Hebrews 10:25. You want to have written? It's a command. Did you know going to church is a command? That's how come my pastor could say, it's God's will that you be in church. I felt so sorry for a guy led to the Lord. This is about 10 years ago. Man, he was hungry. He was, oh, thank you. And I mean, it was just a blessing to talk with. I said, well, it was on a Sunday night right before church. I said, hey, church starts in about an hour and 15 minutes. I said, Can I take you to church tonight? He said, I got to be at work in a half hour. I said, okay. Well, we got church Wednesday night, and that's at 7 o'clock. Can I pick you up? He said, I got to work at my other job. I said, what about next Sunday morning? Church Sunday school starts at 10 o'clock, and man, I could pick you up for that. He said, I work three jobs. He said, I've been in jail twice for unpaid child support. He said, I have six children from all different mothers that I'm supporting. If I don't pay, I go back to jail. I said, God bless you. I'm glad you got saved. I couldn't help him. I didn't know what to do. His life was a mess because of decisions he made before he got saved. I said, praise the Lord, all that's forgiven. But you got consequences to deal with, don't you? Okay? So, I've met a few that can't, that wish they could, and know changing jobs is not their solution. However, Christian, I like telling other people it's God's will that you be in church because it's commanded. It's commanded. Last verse tonight. Look at 2 Chronicles 27, verse 2. 2 Chronicles 27, verse 2. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, then 1 and 2 Chronicles. Just give you some food for thought here. One of the men that taught me soul winning showed me this verse, and I never forgot it. 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and look at verse 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 27 in the Old Testament and look at verse 2. Very important verse. Just start at verse 1 and we'll find King Jotham here. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 1. Ready? Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, praise the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Notice this, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Period. Last sentence in verse 2, and the people did yet corruptly. Jotham was a king, and when the leadership doesn't do right, the followership doesn't do right, and Jotham, he did right in the sight of the Lord. I think Jotham was saved. Jotham, we'll see him when we get to heaven. But he didn't influence anybody to do right. You know what going to church does? It increases your influence to people. Your neighbors know when you're in church and when you're not. And if they watch you hit and miss, they'll just be like, they're not committed. He didn't enter into the house of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Christian, going to church is important because without it, you lose your influence. Just like Jotham, I want to be a servant. I want to be used of the Lord to help other people. We're all supposed to be making disciples. That's our purpose. But could you take the Bible and show your convert, now that you're saved, you need to come to church? Did you know church is one of the first things you would teach a convert before you taught them about baptism, the Bible, or anything? Because they got to come to church before they get baptized, right? I don't show all of these verses. It depends on what the Holy Spirit lays on my heart. But these are tools in my toolbox that I can use. I think all of us need to be equipped to help others. I hope this is a help to you and helps you serve other people. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. And Lord, strengthen us, Lord, to serve others. Please. Lord, in this day and age.